coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Thursday, debate day, June 27th, 2024. I want to thank you for your belief and trust in this platform. I really appreciate all of that. Your prayers out, please, for Randy Taylor. He's going to be down for a while. He is hospitalized. He'll be fine. However, his prayers, send prayers his way. If you want to communicate with him, rt@hagmanpi.com. Of course, we're praying for a very swift recovery. A lot of stuff to get into, some debate things, not too much, just some couple of things to watch out for, and a couple of warnings with respect to that. And there's also some censorship news. I think it's extremely important. Some economic news, some world revolution news. There's some issues about this next plandemic. There's also some news about the intelligence community working, of course, with the media and the leftist opposition to destroy the MAGA or the America First or the nationalist or the populist, whatever you want to call it, individuals, whatever you want to call that. All right. Again, a lot of things to get into. I'm going to be kicking off really hard today. Now, before I do that, I just want to, again, thank you and also thank our sponsors, including ChuckDefense.com. I've talked about this before, and I tell you how amazed I am at looking at Chuck Norris, 81 years old. He's got more energy than I do. I saw a video he made. I was surprised. I want you to, folks, I really want you to see this video. Understand, he's in his 80s. He's still kicking people's butts, or he's still really active. He's working out. You know, what's even more shocking is you could tell that he's stronger. He can work out longer. He's got plenty of energy left over for other activities, including his grandkids. That's important to me. And he did this by making one change. He said he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing the same thing, and she has never felt better. That's what she says. She also says that she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, and she's got energy all day. Chuck made a very special video, folks. I encourage you to really watch this video. I did. It changed some things, quite a few things for me. Just go to ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. Click the link in the description box below. It's going to change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. Click the link in the description box below to watch the video now. You're not going to believe how simple it is. And again, you know, he's making another movie now. It's just amazing at 81. He's got more energy than I do. And he discovered he could create dramatic changes to his health by simply focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. Watch his method. Again, click the link in the description box below, chuckdefense.com/Hagman. Appreciate you doing that as well. All right, getting right into it. Again, the debate is tonight. Look, we're not going to be live with this. You've got plenty of options out there to watch the debate. A recent survey found that 75% of registered voters will be tuned in tonight, making this essentially the second biggest news story of really this century. This decade. Or at least this year. I'll just leave it this year. And
Your time is up. You've been muted.
That, of course, is Eric the Tech playing. And that's what CNN. That's what CNN's going to do. I don't know how many people saw that video put out by CNN.
I don't know why.
You better apologize to the radio audience for that dead air.
I don't know why the Trump campaign agreed to that.
Yeah. Yeah, here it is. Folks, you've heard this probably a million times by now. Everyone's talking about it. The debate's 90 minutes long. There's two so-called bathroom breaks. You know, they're standing, of course, for that 90-minute period.
Diaper change time.
Yeah, really, I tell you. You know, monitoring the levels of Biden. But here's, I really want to caution people. I really do. Why, when you look at the debates, today's the 27th day of June. Why did they schedule the debate? Thanks for muting me, by the way. That was really, that'll show you, basically, you're not going to have any sound. I mean, there won't be any, once that mic is cut, and the CNN is the final arbiter of when to cut the mic, and they could ostensibly cut it if they are offended or if they sense some transgression by President Trump. And I'm going to get into this only from the intelligence community perspective, which is extremely important, okay? So two bathroom breaks. The mics are cut, like Eric the Tech did demonstrate, and the radio audience is like, what? You know, the no notes, no props. They get a pen and paper. They can write notes down contemporaneously. But do not. Even if President Trump absolutely knocks it out of the park, really, given the time period that this is in, and this is from my perspective, it's not going to move the needle much for the elections. Why are they having it today? Why are they having it in June? These are the questions I believe, like myself as an investigator, I would ask, not necessarily about the rules, but about the timing, maybe some of the rules, but one in particular, the positioning of the podium. The Biden team had their pick. You can either pick your place, you know, the position of the podium, right or left, or you can pick whether you want to furnish a closing statement or not. And Biden picked the position of the podium. I'd like to know the answer to that question. Why? Because we all know in debates and court settings that the last word is what people remember, or the last argument or whatever. People remember that in trials, whatever it might be. That's why they made a big deal about the prosecution in New York against President Trump having the last word in that trial. So one does wonder about that. What's so important about the position of the podium? Just asking. Okay. A couple of things to watch out for. The collusion between the intelligence community, and I'll explain, and CNN and their staff and the Biden regime. Because this happened before. This happened in 2016. This happened in 2020. And you doggone bet your bottom buck that it's going to happen this year. The collusion. There are three primary issues. And I know Breitbart, I think, reported on this or is reporting on this. The Biden regime will be pushing three specific issues. The Russian disinformation hoax. the amount of collusion between the intelligence community, the 51 intelligence assets and agents that were reported back in 2020, they didn't go away. So, some might have, but the majority, the bulk, are here. So the painting President Trump as a threat to our national security is going to be a paramount issue for Biden. The second thing is inflation. Now, when President Trump left office, inflation was at 1.4%. What is it today? I don't even know. I do have some video that explains this Bidenomics. But expect the lies.
I'd say based on the video, four times.
Four times. You saw that video. Show prep. Folks, you got to see this. If you haven't seen this already, you've got to see this. Okay. Or hear it if you're listening to this by way of podcast or radio. And then, of course, the biggest biggest lie of them all, how President Trump is a threat to our representative republic or constitution, or as they would call it, our democracy. Now, this comes after, and I'm going to circle around here and tie this together. This comes after the Supreme Court decision yesterday. We took a big hit yesterday in the case Murthy versus Missouri, which was decided on the grounds of standing. Okay, enough of this crap. Enough of standing. Really, look, I'm not a Supreme Court justice. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a jurist. I'm not. But the Supreme Court basically sided by default, and again, pundit, bottom line, pundit, but by default, sided with the government to allow social media companies and people with purple and green hair and multiple piercings and tats all over the place and working from the basement to be surrogates of the federal government to censor conservative voices and Christian voices. That's what the Supreme Court did. And sadly, Amy Coney Barrett and
others. The bikers are going to show up at your door.
Bring them on. You know what? I don't have a problem with bikers. I really don't. And they wouldn't have a problem.
You just called out their tattoos.
Well, talking about the 18-year-old mamas, boys, and mamas, girls, and mamas, trans people, really in that. But Eric the Tech, you're. So I read a comment where Wednesdays are Eric's really hit him day. It might extend into Thursday. By the way, Steve Quayle, we had a scheduling conflict, which is why he's not here.
I'm just saying, don't link the purple-haired people to tattoos.
What about piercings and all that? Okay. Well, you get the general idea of what I'm referring to. So the surrogates for the federal government by way of that decision yesterday, the court really disappointed in that. Now there are, I believe, 13 more cases to be decided. A couple were decided today, including the the EPA ruling. And the two cases that came out today with the EPA ruling and another one that really attacked the administrative state, the deep state. And they were solid rulings in our favor, ruling in our favor. The EPA, by the way, must stay the state of the process under the Clean Air Act. But this, the decisions today, let me just cut to the chase because of time. Today, limited government regulation and interaction with businesses in the midst of this mosaic of regulations, made up regulations that we had. that we have. And it also, one of the cases also put the federal government back under the Constitution by way of these administrative law judges. All right. Again, I'm not going to get too far into this because that's not my main point today. But there was a strike. Well, yesterday was a disappointment. Today was a strike against the depth of the deep state. All right. Now, what is going to be important for everyone can be exhibited or illustrated. And folks, you may have seen this in video one under in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. And please, you know, I see 5 or 10 people subscribe to Rumble. Please subscribe to us on Rumble, Brighteon, and the podcast of your choice. It helps the metrics. It's going to help us stay on the air. And the past 24 hours have just been brutal in terms of censorship, in terms of things taking place behind the scenes. Maybe next week we'll get into a little bit more of that. But for right now, let's go to cut one. This is this is less than 40. This is like 30 seconds. This has everything to do with you and me. The fact that prices are just going through the roof. But this is pretty interesting. If you shop on Amazon, you can call up an item and reorder it. Well, Walmart has the same kind of system, the reorder button. This man made a video, put it on TikTok. I know TikTok. It ended up on X and other social media platforms. But this is what is important, I believe, to the American people. And I think this will resonate with each one of you. It certainly did with me because I understand that when you go to the grocery store, you know, those defibrillators that hang on the wall. I think you better have one handy because I'm telling you, the prices are just out of control. But watch this. This is cut one.
I feel like I'm going to be sick. I just, like, looked through my Walmart history, and I found this, like, Walmart order from 2 years ago for the whole month worth of groceries. 45 items cost $126. A whole month of groceries just for me, basically. But I did notice this reorder all button, and I wanted to see how much it would cost now. Now, this order of 45 items for 1 month would have cost $414. That is 4 times more. How the fuck? How? Like, what?
Okay, yeah, you could have stopped it before that last expletive, but yeah, 45 items. This was a reorder button between today, 2024, and 2022. 2 years. $126 to almost, like you said, almost 4 times that. That's what Americans are concerned about. And in terms of a recent poll, I guess, is a better way of saying it. Numerous polls show there are really 3 top items that Americans are concerned about. Number one is the economy and inflation, not keeping up, of course, with their paychecks. The second is the border / national security, and coming in at about 8%. On average, between the polls, is infanticide or abortion. Now, I'm not sure whether it's pro or anti, but that's a concern. Take that for what you will. But about that last video, we're going to go to cut two. This is a minute long. Again, I don't know whether you saw this, but this is Dr. Phil talking about, well, explaining Bidenomics with a little cameo by Kamala Harris. Here's cut two.
Electricity, 25% increase. Auto insurance up 33%. Used cars up 35%. Hotels up 15%. Groceries, this matters, up 25%. And this is a big one. You need $11,434 additional just to maintain the same living standard that you had in 2021. Did y'all get a raise?
No.
No.
Between now and then? But that's what's happening. Rent is up 30%. Mortgage rates doubled. It's getting worse, not better. So what do you tell yourself about what you're going to do, how you're going to go about climbing out of this? Because we're headed in the wrong direction.
All that, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, that is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
How great is that, huh? Hey, we did it, Joe. We did it. Yeah, you sure did. And, of course, as we sit on the precipice of a third world war, which, interestingly enough, the Wall Street Journal today, as cited by a number of others talking about this, this debate could actually decide whether World War III will go kinetic and kind of when. It's an article in the Wall Street Journal. It's written by more of a leftist, but it's pretty concerning, so you might want to check that out. But about the debate tonight, my concern, my observations, again, from my vantage point as an investigator, I want to know not the theatrics of it, but what's behind what is happening. And there was an article by Paul Sperry, Real Clear Investigations. Folks, this is page 2 in today's show notes. James Clapper, Mr. October Surprise, How Obama's Intel Czar Rigged 2016 and 2020 Debates Against President Trump. If you can put that on the screen, that'd be great. Because I do have something to say about this. And this is, to me, this is extremely important. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read verbatim the last, I think it's the last paragraph or close to the last paragraph. Let me see here. This article, Paul Sperry, goes in through the collusion between the intelligence community, specifically the CIA, the FBI. That's right. The CIA should not be operating certainly not involved in debates or helping any candidate, but or DHS or FBI or whatever. But they have been so politically refined now that you can expect their involvement in tonight's debate. That's what I want you to get out of this article, if I may request that. Please take a look at this article, read this article, and the I'll cite a couple of essentially the nuggets here in summary. Writes Paul Sperry in this article, in effect, the intelligence community conspired with the Biden campaign to deceive the electorate. That's you and me, of course. And to obviously pump up Biden, pump up Hillary in 2016, pump up Biden in 2020, to deceive the electorate by creating a false narrative, false talking points for Biden in the presidential debate, which some government watchdogs say constituted an unreported campaign contribution and a potential violation of federal campaign finance laws and obviously election laws. Clapper, by the way, had donated to both leftist campaigns against President Trump. It is clear. Now, this is about primarily about James Clapper, who's, I think, 83 at the moment. But it still has his hand in the IC. It is clear that Clapper was rooting for Biden to win. This is in 2020 now. 3 days before, Clapper released his all-too-convenient intelligence letter. You know which letter I'm talking about, referencing the Biden laptop. This is 2020. Again, he had donated $1,000 to Biden's campaign, and this is according to FEC statements. He had given another $250 to Biden for president the previous October. And in the current election cycle, records show Clapper has contributed at least $300 so far to Biden. Now, you might not think that's anything, and by today's standards, it's not much money. Does it make a difference? Not really. But what makes the difference is the penetration of the intelligence community into the campaigns to assure Biden's reelection. They're going to do everything they can to supply information and really backup to the Biden regime. Now, again, hold that thought, because remember yesterday, the Supreme Court coming out in the Murthy versus Missouri case saying, okay, we're not going to be, because of standing, we're not really going to get involved. We're going to punt on the issue and allow the continuation of the social media companies to act as surrogates, and people working for the social media companies to act as surrogates for the political left to destroy President Trump, to censor those who are pointing this out. Believe me, the censorship is only going to worsen. The censorship of the within the news media is only going to worsen. I want to connect this to The View, yesterday's View. I know. Eric watches it. I don't. He's got it on, you know, DVR record or whatever that is. After work, he gets home and he...
Whoopi is like my second mother.
Nah, I'm not going to say it. I'm telling you, really, what we're seeing here is a full court press that was set in motion so long ago, but refined by Obama, and now being even more, being pushed even harder by Obama and by the communist left. And the communist left is joined at the hip by the New World Order people, the one world government, the collectivists, the consolidation of power into this global governance. That's who's controlling all of this. And Obama is the foot soldier for the current situation. But what happened on The View yesterday, Fauci was a guest, and he came out to a standing ovation of the audience and of The View, and these people were just clapping for Fauci. Oh, my goodness, what a great... Oh, my gosh. Almost 3 minutes into his appearance, he was asked about... he was asked about... Well, I'll tell you what. Rather than me explain it, let's just play it. Starting at the 258 mark, this is cut four. Fauci on The View, and we'll get into why this relates to what's going on today, as well as the censorship and other parts of this particular issue. Go ahead.
You had addressed so many of these ailments before and never faced the backlash that you did from part of the country when you were working on COVID. Did you see that coming? We watched it in real time.
No, it was really unexpected because, as Alyssa said, I served and advised seven presidents, Democrat and Republican, mm-hmm. both sides of the aisle. And there has always been disagreements, of course. I mean, that's why our country is a great country. You have people who have different ideological views, but the disagreements were always associated with civility, mm-hmm. with respect for each other, and for respect for institutions mm-hmm. in the government. So you could have a disagreement, but at the end, you try and compromise. What happened with COVID, as I think was represented by the hearing a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. was just pure ad hominem and vitriol. And that really took me by surprise. I thought that there would be that kind of give and take and respect each other's disagreements. And that's the thing that worries me, not only about what I have to face, but about the direction of the country and the...
Yes.
And the social order in our democracy. It's mm-hmm. it's very threatening, I think.
It's in jeopardy. Alyssa. It's in jeopardy. I know.
Yeah.
So you dedicate a chapter in the book to your dealings with Trump. It's called, the chapter's called "He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not." and you describe some angry, ranting, expletive-filled phone calls where he would be raped.
Can you go back just like a couple of frames there? Yeah. Look at this garden gnome. Man, he needs like a milk carton to stand on. All right. Now, I'm short. Believe me, I am short. I'm only like 5'6". And I'm shrinking with age. Rumor has it that garden gnome was started out at 5'6", and he's like 4'9", with age. But I've got to say this. What concerns me about this, and what is concerning and should concern you about this, is the lies, the absolute lies that are allowed to be told by Fauci, allowed to be in writing by Fauci, even though he's out of government service. He's referencing government service, his time in government service. Oh, I served seven presidents. Yeah, you did a shitty job, too, when you go back to AIDS and all of that, as well as... Well, you can read RFK Jr.'s book about the only thing I like about RFK Jr.'s book is the real Anthony Fauci. But here's the issue, and here's how it ties into what we're talking about. We have a problem, and the problem has been in existence really for a long, long time. You know, and I've written that I'm a post-World War II student of history. You know what? You can take this off. Folks, this is cut four in the show notes and under HagmanPI.com under today's show. I love reading about history. And M. Stanton Evans wrote a book in 1965. Okay, I have an original copy of his book right here. And let me... The name of the book is The Liberal Establishment, all right? And when you get down, right down to it, not much has changed from 1965 to the present. The groundwork that was laid for the censorship that we see today was done in the post-World War II era. And it, not only the censorship, but the manipulation of the media. Now, it was refined under Clinton, and then Bush, and then really refined under Obama, who I would say created, or at least is responsible for the phrase fake news, at least being put into prominent parlance of today. But in this book, just briefly here, I was interested to find a statement about censorship, about how the left silences the conservatives. Again, think back. This is 1965. And he goes back into the post-World War II era. And he cites in the book four specific cases. But without respect to that, you have to look at the larger picture here. The what he calls the establishmentarians is what we would refer to today as the administrative state, the deep state. He writes that they sometimes get carried away with their own sense of mission to the point of imposing it on others. Now, I think this is important to really get into, because think of perhaps many of you weren't born back in the 60s or weren't of age during that period of time. But even back in the 60s, for example, the influencing of the 1964 election between Lyndon Baines Johnson and Barry Goldwater. Was it Barry Goldwater or Humphrey? Humphrey, I believe. But, or Goldwater. Anyway, regardless, the planting of intelligence assets in places like the New York Times and the Washington Post and all three of the major networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, I didn't want to leave them out. The magazines, the slick, glossy magazines that came out. You might remember Look and Life and those magazines, Saturday Evening Post. You remember those. The complete penetration, and this was admitted in 75 during the Church Committee. But what I found interesting was the method and manner of censorship, minus the internet, was pretty much the same. It describes how the left, now I'm updating the verbiage that M. Stanton Evans used. Political malfeasance is not limited to a single side in any dispute, meaning the right, the left, in our case today, the rhinos siding with the communist left. He writes, you know, folks, you need to take a look at a couple of things that are happening today or happening during this time or were happening just immediately preceding the publication of the book, like in 1962, for example. In the fall of 1962, Indianapolis, Indiana, as the congressional elections that year, and again, I'm doing this for a reason, and this is an example. As the congressional elections of that year approached, the New Frontier found itself in political difficulty. A great hue and cry had gone up around the nation concerning the intrusion of Soviet missiles in Cuba. You remember that as the Cuban Missile Crisis. And throughout August, September, October, the Kennedy regime, now those are his words, had stoutly denied any such thing was taking place. But the unrest was growing rapidly. And Kennedy launched into the campaign to shore up the left, their chance, and to, you know, create some sound bites. Now, in Cincinnati, Kennedy had been greeted by conservative dissidents demanding action in Cuba. This, again, this is before this Cuban Missile Crisis really went hot. The resulting newspaper photographs showing picket holders, and they were holding signs which bore the legend or the words, "Less profile, more courage." And for those not of age, of course, he wrote profiles and courage. Kennedy did. And other signs with other similar sentiments. The people around him, the big dollar supporters, hired goons. Many of the labor unions were infiltrated by these goons, by these communists. And much like BLM and Antifa today, the people in protest, who were protesting the lack of action against Kennedy, got the crap beat out of them. Okay, now, by not not only the police, but by what we would consider today as BLM and Antifa. So we've seen everything that's happened really since the summer of love in 2020. We're seeing the same thing that happened back in 62 happen today. These were government goons. These were the, and as a matter of fact, as he gets into this, talking about the, at that time, the FBI, and yes, even the CIA, putting people within crowds to crush any dissent against the party narrative. And by party narrative, I'm talking about the communist narrative. I found that extremely interesting and relevant to what we're seeing today. Also, the censorship and muzzling. There's a whole chapter on that and how it's done. And when you read through this, the left, of course, they don't like to be censored when they have, according to this, Mr. Evans here, that blue editing pencil. Or when they don't have that, when they are, the left does not, or they love censorship. Pardon me, let me start again. The left loves censorship when they are holding the pencil that can cross out the words, okay? Again, this is pre-internet, this is pre-digital age, this is the typewritten age, the age of newspapers, the golden age of newspapers and magazines, which most young people don't even know exist today, but the methods are the same. And quickly, there are some examples here, how Kennedy, Johnson, how they elevated the communist element, the communist element. Okay, for example, among the phrases, for example, and even in the State Department, in the Defense Department, back then, among the phrases that they censored out, they blue penciled, in their words, from speeches by such high-ranking officers, like Curtis LeMay, for example, were the following. Think about this. If the communist attack was changed to, if an attack on our country or its allies occurs, as we engage the communists, this is another example, was changed to, as we strive for real peace. Another example, to meet the critical challenges of the threat of communism, was merely changed to the critical challenges of today. Now, there's a ton more examples in this book. The pattern of deletions were consistent. The censors' efforts, of course, were aimed at quashing any real news about the frailties of the president, the executive branch, dealing with internal and external threats and mandating the newspapers and the television and the radio stations to do the same. What do we see today? The same thing. It's just different. Instead of a typewriter, it's a laptop. Instead of newspapers and magazines, they're online publications. But you get the idea. And instead of, necessarily union members, although there are some today, it's BLM and Antifa. Again, the reason I bring this up is because they lack the imagination and they have to use the same plan over and over and over again. But folks, even though they lack that imagination, don't get lulled into a sense of security, because they are going to bring that hammer down even harder considerably after yesterday's SCOTUS ruling in Murthy versus Missouri. So people like Fauci can spout his lies with impunity. Okay, he can go out there and say whatever he wants to say. But if you say a face mask doesn't work, or if you say H5N1, really not that big of a threat, or it's a government plandemic, it's you that's going to pay the price. Now, I know you know this, but there are some, believe it or not, there are people out there who don't believe what I'm saying. And speaking of the fact that that Supreme Court ruling was made yesterday, Missouri does have a big problem with New York. This is from Just the News, and this is relative to what I'm talking about, because all of this is what? It's election interference. If the intelligence community, and I believe it has, assisted or otherwise colluded with either CNN or the Biden regime or both against President Trump, that is taking away, that's election interference and impacting your right and my right to select who we want to lead our country. And this being one of the most important election of our lifetime, then that's a big deal. So we're going to go to cut five. This is from Just the News. It's a minute, a little over a minute and 15. Missouri has a big problem with New York. Cut five.
You announced just a few days ago that you, the state of Missouri, is going to sue New York for interfering with New Yorkers' right to have a fair election, basically violating the constitutional rights of Missourians. Can you tell us a little bit about where that is and what it could ultimately lead to?
Absolutely. This is a lawsuit to vindicate Missourians' rights to have access to and hear from a chosen candidate for president of the United States in the heat of a campaign in the most consequential election in this nation's history. You've got a rogue prosecutor and a collusive judiciary in New York who have systematically prosecuted President Trump in an illicit witch hunt in order to take him off the campaign trail and muzzle him, thereby depriving not only the president of his First Amendment right to speech, but Missourians' rights to hear from him as well. This is election interference at its worst. Missouri has a sovereign interest in vindicating its rights to participate on equal footing with the state of New York in the presidential election. And our founding fathers certainly contemplated that there would be a method by which states could resolve these kinds of grievances. And that method is in Article 3, Section 2 of the United States Constitution, thereby giving the United States Supreme Court original jurisdiction when states have problems. And right now, Missouri has a big problem with New York.
All right. Again, the reason I slipped that in there is because what we're seeing today is the loss of our republic, the shredding of our Constitution by manners that were set in motion, by methods and operations set in motion, really decades ago. I cited several things from the early 60s. It even predates that. But don't forget, during that time, if you watched yesterday's show, there was a video segment, and you can find it in yesterday's show notes at HagmanPI.com, of the origins of Barry Satoro, Lolo Satoro, of course, the father, and his relationship with this globalist and intelligence community, the globalist assets and intelligence community. So all of this is really everything that we've seen over the past almost 100 years, specifically in the post-World War II era to the present. They've been leading from then until now. They've been waiting for this moment. And folks, if you don't think this is the most important election of your lifetime, or if you don't think that it doesn't matter if we vote for Biden or for Trump, or if you're still hung up on President Trump's missteps and bad decisions, whether it be the personnel he picked or whatever, then you're not seeing the big picture. The bigger picture here is Biden, I believe, based on all of my research, the history behind the Biden crime family, all of this is to take down the United States and to have it absorbed into this global, this collective globalist, authoritarian, tyrannical environment. About that, I'm looking at a couple of things. I'm looking at the time. I'm looking at the what I have left here on the show notes. If you haven't seen this, this is worthy of your time and my airtime. This is a segment from Tucker Carlson. I don't know whether you, Eric the Tech, did you see this outside of the show? The cut six?
No.
Okay. This is Tucker Carlson in Australia. And this is the exact method of operation of the media. Folks, but Tucker Carlson just schools this reporter. If you haven't seen it, this is going to be a treat for you. If you have, you can rejoice all over again. Enjoy this all over again. Here is cut six.
Thank you so much for your address today. So you talked a little bit about immigration, and in the past you've talked about how white Australians, Americans, Europeans are being replaced by non-white immigrants in what is often referred to as the Great Replacement Theory. This is the same...
Have I said that whites are being replaced?
Well...
I don't think I said that.
Well, it's been mentioned on your show 4,000 times. And
really? When did I say that?
On your show...
I said
show,
whites are being replaced?
You have said that before.
Really?
Yeah,
I would challenge you to cite that because I'm pretty sure I haven't said that. Native-born Americans are being replaced, including blacks.
Native-born Americans.
And Americans who, like black Americans, have been African Americans, have been in the United States for, in many cases, their families over 400 years. And their concerns are every bit as real and valid and alive to me as the concerns of white people whose families have been there 400 years. So I've never said that whites are being replaced. Not one time. And
I
you can't cite
that's
it.
Untrue.
So, we just met, but when our relationship starts with a lie, it makes it tough to be friends. So
well,
let's,
I mean, you've been lying
let's
about
pull
my
that back. I'm happy to explain what I do
well,
think.
So,
you actually can't say it because I didn't say it, and I don't believe it. And I'm telling you that to your face, so why don't you just accept me at face value? My concern is that the people who are born in the country are the main responsibility of its leaders. And as noted earlier, when those leaders shift their concern from the people whose responsibility it is to take care of, to people around the world, to put their priorities above that of their own citizens, that's immoral. And they are being replaced in my country, people who are born in the United States. And the birth rate tells the whole story. They are not at replacement rate. And so the U.S. population is growing because we're importing people from other countries. And my view is that happy people have children, and a functioning economy allows them to do that. And we don't have that. And so you need to fix the economy and fix the culture and make it so that people who want to have kids can. You don't just go for the quick sugar fix of importing new people. Like, that's my position. And if you think that's racist, that's your problem.
I never called you a racist.
But of course you are suggesting. And
well,
I must say, one of the reasons people don't like people like you in the media is that you never say exactly what you mean. Your slurs are all by implication. And you're about to tell me the Great Replacement Theory is racist or anti-Semitic, whatever. I've said what I've said to you right now like 100 times in public. I hope to, if I live long enough, say it 100 more times. I think it's completely honest and real, not racist or scary. It's factually true. It's not a theory. It's a fact. And the whole point of your question was to be like, you're a scary racist.
Well, I haven't
and
actually
my response
my question.
Is, no, I'm not. Okay, well, how about no more lying in your questions, and then I'll answer it.
Okay, well... this is the same theory, or as you say, idea, that has inspired the New York Buffalo shooting where 11
God,
black Americans
come
were killed,
on.
Two
you know
white
what I mean?
Americans were killed,
like,
and it's also
okay,
inspired... It's inspired the worst... one of the worst Australian guns of all time.
How do they get people this stupid in the media? I guess it doesn't pay well. Look, I'm sorry, I've lived among people like you for too long, and I don't mean to call you stupid. Maybe you're just pretending to be, but I've never... I'm totally against violence. I'm totally against the war in Ukraine, for example, which doubtless you support. And like all dutiful liberals support more carnage. I don't. I hate mass shootings, actually. Nothing I said, what does it mean to inspire something? My views are not bigoted against any group. They're honest. They're factual. That's not hate. That's reality. And my views derive from my deep concern for Americans, actually. Americans aren't having kids because they can't afford to. And nobody in charge cares. And so that's my position. That doesn't inspire mass shootings. How dare you try to tie me to some lunatic who murdered people? How dare you, actually? And in fact, I mean, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, you know, Hitler wore those shoes. A lot of people are saying that you're like Hitler. Can you explain those shoes? Hitler wore exactly the same shoes. And you're like, I've got nothing to do with Hitler. Well, that's how I feel about your absurd, disingenuous question.
Right. So therefore, you support gun control?
What? I thought it couldn't get dumber, but it did. No, I don't support disarming law-abiding people so they can't defend themselves, so the government has a monopoly on violence. I don't think so. First of all, in my country, that's illegal, as you know. But moreover, it should be illegal in every country. A sovereign person has the right to defend himself and his family. Period. And that said, I'm totally opposed to harming anyone. Anyone. Have you been calling? Are you concerned about the war in Ukraine? And the countless innocents being murdered there every single day? I doubt you are. Probably Putin bad. I am. I'm a Christian. I hate violence. I hate mass shootings. I have guns at home and often on my person when I'm in the United States, I'm proud to say, because I want to defend myself and those I love against violence. That's the point. I'm not perpetrating crimes. I'm not shooting strangers. I'm defending what I love. And if you're against that, I guess I would ask why. Why would you be against that?
Well, so you don't think you harbor any kind of responsibility for these hate crimes?
Okay, you can cut right there. The rest of it you can watch. That should be a study. And that would be an excellent study, in my view. Eric Tech, I'd be interested in your thoughts of not necessarily Tucker's responses, which were absolutely fabulous, but did you see the manipulation by the mainstream media, by the legacy media, of the issues and how can you almost feel or sense or detect the influence of the leftist, communist, even the intelligence community's talking points when you hear Mayorkas or you hear Christopher Wray? Hey,
that's a preview of tonight.
Okay. And there it is. I wanted that to come full
circle.
Sorry,
stole it from you.
You know, no, I'm glad. Can you see why, okay, that tonight's debate, I'm telling you, tonight's debate is going to be merely to test whether Biden can stand erect. I said erect, huh? Whoa, yeah. Can stand up and munge the talking points, deliver constant lies in a believable format, or at least twist whatever President Trump might say. Can you, from that clip, from the Tucker Carlson clip, can you see, does that's a preview, like you said, for tonight, isn't it? Eric the Tech, feel free to chime in with your
I just think it's going to be talking points.
Yep.
And that's it. I don't think Biden's going to even entertain anything Trump. He's just going to ignore him.
It's not going to be a debate. Tonight will not be a debate. We can call it a debate, but it doesn't make it a debate. You're exactly 100% correct. Okay.
That's like saying, hey, we got a baseball game tonight, but you can't hit the ball. You just got to watch it go by.
Metaphorically, dead nuts accurate. You're going to see that kind of treatment by CNN to President Trump, while the softball issues and the entertainment of the lies, the acceptance of the lies by Biden, by CNN. So really, it's going to be it's not even going to be a debate. This is a test for Biden, and they're going to use the poll numbers. Okay, again, Biden is going to be declared by the mainstream media the winner, as long as he doesn't fall down, or poop himself, or do whatever. He's going to be declared the winner by people like that. And you know what else? From the beginning, the censorship, we're not allowed to report on that. Certainly not by CNN. and most assuredly in the future by the growing censorship community. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. May God bless you. Have a good day.